I'm very happy now to welcome Betty Jean Craig. She is a professor at the University of Georgia, and she's the author of the book Conversations with Cosmo, At Home with an African Gray Parrot. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for inviting me.
So this is a sort of interesting, sweet, but above all, fascinating book in terms of the relationship between a human being and a parrot, and the cognitive and intellectual and empathetic abilities of this animal, which I had no idea what parrots were like. Did you know what you were signing up for when you went to a pet store and bought this African gray parrot?
I didn't fully know. A friend of mine had told me that African gray parrots are the smartest birds in the world and the most capable of mimicking the human voice. I had no idea that Cosmo would be such a talker. I did tell folks when I got her that it seemed easier to get a parrot than a dolphin or a gorilla because I was interested in what other intelligent species, individuals of other intelligent species thought. But I just did not have any idea that Cosmo would develop a sense of humor and carry on conversations with me.
One is taught that although birds speak our language, that it's complete mimicking, that they don't actually know what they're saying. Your experience was different from that.
Very different. The mimicry, of course, is necessary for them to talk, you know, the ability to mimic our voices. And actually, Cosmo sounds a lot like me, according to my friends. But she knows very well what she's saying. And in fact, as she has learned to talk with me, and I say that because I don't know what I taught her. She's just learned. I have spoken to her in a fairly simplified language so that she knows exactly what she's saying when she talks with me. And I have not tried to teach her things that she doesn't understand. I just talk to her about things she's capable of understanding so that she knows the meaning of what she's saying.
Well, and that's the amazing thing, is that she really does seem to know the meaning of what she's saying. There are exchanges like, how are you, fine, thank you. But she'll talk about being hungry, and she'll ask you about things that refer to past events.
Well, for example, let me give you a typical conversation in the morning. When I'm getting ready to go to work, and she sees me putting on makeup, she'll ask, Betty Jean, where one a gonna go? Of course, that grammatical construction is not one that I use, but it makes a lot of sense. Where one a gonna go? And I say to her, typically, Betty Jean gonna go to work. And Cosmo will respond, Betty Jean gonna go in a car? Cosmo wanna go in a car. And I'll say, no, Cosmo stay home. And sometimes she'll argue. She'll say, Cosmo wanna go in a car. Other times she'll say, okay, doggies, come here, and she calls the dogs. Last week, she said, okay, Cosmo, stay home. Yes, Cosmo going to have company, because that was the day that the painter was coming to the house. And I said, yes. She said, okay, Cosmo, go back in cage. And she walked across the hallway and got back into her roost cage.
It's quite amazing, because the things that you describe, and you... make it very clear in the book that while there are scientists who have studied African gray parrots, including one at the university who studied your parrot, you are not a scientist, but you are in a kind of friendship relationship, kind of companion relationship with this bird, which is, I suppose, because of the English language, frighteningly intimate.
Yes. It is just wonderful. Cosmo also considers herself the leader, you know, maybe assistant manager of the household because I have two dogs. Yes, it is a kind of intimate relationship. I think of her automatically as just a feathery little person, and I forget how remarkable it is that she's, you know, that we're talking because we talk all the time. When I'm cooking, she asks me whenever I get a new pan out or whatever, she says, what's that? And I have to think of something, you know, the generic name of the pan. It's also amazing that she knows that everything has a name. I think that's quite an astonishing intellectual accomplishment, because every time I bring something new into the house, she says, "What's that?" So she knows she lives in a world where everything has a name.
One of the things that's extraordinary is that this parrot has a great sense of humor. And so it will do things like imitate the sound of the telephone to draw you into the room, or imitate the sound of the smoke alarm just to scare you.
Well, yes. You know, I'll tell you about the telephone. She does make the sound of the telephone and the ringing at appropriate intervals, so I can't, if I'm in the same room, I can hardly tell the difference. And she does it every time, almost every time I go into the shower, so now I'm used to that. But she was mimicking all the sounds of the house before she started talking. And then one day she was mimicking the sound of the phone, and she had already learned telephone for Betty Jean, which is what I've said. And so one day she said, "Telephone for Bird," and I just burst out laughing. That was something I'd never said, and then she started laughing, or that is, mimicking my laugh, which sounds just like mine. And I thought, what an amazing moment that a human being and an individual who's a bird are laughing at the same thing. And as she's developed her sense of humor, I find it very difficult to distinguish her sense of humor from mine. We laugh at the same things. She has my laugh. And, you know, I must say that I got Cosmo thinking that I'd be able to learn how a bird thinks, because the bird might be able to tell me. Well, I've had a very hard time distinguishing between what Cosmo thinks as a bird and what Cosmo thinks as a member of my household.
Because she's so adapted into the various infrastructures and characters and so on in your house.
Yes, and when company come over, and I often have company, she wants to participate in the fun by telling jokes. So I had some folks over last night, for example, and she started ringing the phone, and then she'd say her first joke, "Telephone for Bird," and then she'd say, "You have reached 549-6243. And, of course, that's my own phone number that she gets from the answering machine. When a male comes into the house, she uses a lower voice. And then she laughs, or if nobody's laughing with her, she chuckles. And that's at the appropriate time. So she knows what's funny, or probably more accurately, she knows what makes me and other humans laugh. And she likes to join in the fun. She's a very sociable bird. She loves to have company, and when she sees me setting the table, she gets all excited. "We're going to have company," she says.
That's fascinating. It does make me think that, okay, this is a parrot that has learned to speak English, but the understanding that that animal is displaying, probably all sorts of other animals around us, horses, donkeys, cats and dogs, and so on, if they had the vocal apparatus to do that mimicry, would be engaging with us in conversations just as much.
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I think anybody who's had dogs knows that they attempt to communicate with their owners. One of the points I wanted to make in my book, and it's one of the things that I've learned from Cosmo, is that if Cosmo thinks about me a lot, and she does, the squirrels who come to my deck to get peanuts and birdseed think about me too. And then I started realizing that all of us, animals and humans, are thinking about each other all the time. And we humans tend to think that we're thinking about other humans and other humans think of us. And we don't realize that all the other animals that share our space on the planet have ideas about us. And, you know, some of them fear us and some of them like us and count on us for food. We must enter their dreams and, you know, maybe sometimes their nightmares.
We have this, I think, idea that when we attribute human qualities to animals that we're anthropomorphizing them. But this, and also a wonderful documentary that I imagine that you've seen called The Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill.
Yes, yes.
Were two of the things that made me realize that it's not so much that we're anthropomorphizing the animals around us, but that we're all part of the web of life and we all want to communicate with each other, and if we give ourselves the opportunity to do so, we are able to do it to a greater or lesser extent.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful vision. Obviously, Cosmo has a lot of pleasure in talking to me, not just her jokes, but she wants to know what's going to happen to her the rest of the day. She likes to go to work and talk to my students or to children in elementary schools. She feels important, and one thing I love about her is her sense of importance in the household. When my guests leave, or when they start getting ready to leave, Cosmo senses it, and she starts saying goodbye. And then she'll climb down off of her cage and walk with the dogs and me to the door to say goodbye to my guests. I'm used to it, but my guests sometimes turn and look, and there are two American Eskimo dogs and a little 8-inch-high bird wishing them farewell, with Cosmo saying goodbye.
We're talking to Betty Jean Craig. She's the author of the book Conversations with Cosmo, At Home with an African Gray Parrot. In your book, you cite some of the actual science that people have done about these African gray parrots, and they have the emotional development of a 2-year-old and the intellectual development of a 5-year-old human. Is that really true?
That is what Irene Pepperberg says. Irene Pepperberg is the scientist who worked with Alex, the African gray who learned to count and to tell colors and learn basic second grade concepts. And Alex was the one who died at the age of 31 and got obituaries in the New York Times and The Economist and other places. A lot of your listeners will know who Alex was. Irene, who is a friend of mine and wrote the preface for my book, has said that they have the emotional maturity of a 2-year-old and the intellectual ability of a 5-year-old. I'm reluctant to think of intelligence on a unilinear scale, because there are lots of things that 5-year-old children can do that birds can't, and lots of things that birds can do that 5-year-old children can't do. So I like to think of intelligence only in relation to other members of the same species. But yes, I would say that Cosmo is highly intelligent and confident in her own ability to understand what's going on in the household.
One of the poignant moments in your book was when you talk about the fact that it is very likely that your parrot will outlive you. And basically, even though you have provided for the parrot beyond your own death, it's not clear that anybody will love and have a relationship with this animal the way you do.
I do love Cosmo, and I worry that I have spoiled her. So she's in my will to go to my nephew. But, you know, I worry that I've spoiled her too much and that nobody else will be able to give her the time and attention that I have. That is a problem that every parrot owner has, because Cosmo may live to be 50 years old. Macaws may live to be 70 or 80 years old. They are the really large parrots. And so owners of African grays and macaws and Amazons need to think about what will happen to their beloved birds after they die.
Do you recommend that people have African gray parrots as pets? I mean, I know that there's a whole issue with illegal trade and that they are threatened species and so on, but if they are bred in captivity, is it something that you recommend to somebody who has just been, a dog owner so far?
Well, let me put it this way. An African gray parrot requires a lot of attention. Because they're so smart, if they don't get a lot of attention and don't have a stimulating environment, they'll pluck all their feathers out. The African gray parrots are sort of one-person birds. So I probably would not recommend an African gray for a family with little children, mostly because the parents would be so busy with the children, they probably wouldn't have time to give the attention to the African gray. But for somebody who does have the time to give the attention, the African gray is a marvelous pet. My life can be divided between before Cosmo and after Cosmo.
Betty Jean Craig is a professor at the University of Georgia, and she is the author of the book Conversations with Cosmo, At Home with an African Gray Parrot. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
I enjoyed it very much, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
And we're going to hear a little bit of Cosmo's language and song, I guess you would call it, as we go out. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz, broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company. Hasta mañana. Ciao.